Please turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you decided to eat out and there was a group of you and you said, hey, why don't we go eat out? And you ask the people going with you, where would you like to go? And they say, I don't know. Where would you like to go? And you say, I don't know. Where would you like to go? And it goes back and forth. You ever been in that situation? How many of you have been in that situation and had something in your mind where you really wanted to go, but didn't share it because you wanted to be respectful of everybody else? Anybody ever been there? Thank you. All right. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens after service this morning. But what happens with that is we get into these situations where nobody's leading. And we're trying to make a decision or trying to get a direction and nobody's leading. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. When we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the leading of the Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He's talking to us about being led or controlled by. And that is the filling as we dive into the idea or the work of the Holy Spirit in the walk of the Christian. And we're looking at the filling this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you now and we ask that you will speak to us as we dive into your word this morning. Father, I pray that you will show us, that you will guide the way, that, Father, that you will be in control, and that we will hear from you, and you will lead us, and not ourselves. And so, Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. And, Father, we look to you to guide the way this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, as we look at the filling of how the filling of the Holy Spirit affects the Christian's walk, we're going to look at the instruction to be filled, how to know if you are filled, and how the filling changes what we do. And so, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21 says this: therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these scriptures. And I pray that, Father, that we'll not get caught up in the things of the world, but that we'll be caught up by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we begin with the idea that, or with the instruction to us to be filled. We're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that means that the filling of the Holy Spirit has something to do with us. It didn't happen necessarily just automatic where Jesus moved in and or where the Holy Spirit moved in and stayed. We know that that's talking about the indwelling, and we know that that's accurate. We talked about that last week. But this is the filling of the Spirit, which is different than the indwelling. So if he's telling us to be filled, it begs the question, why and how does that happen? So it means, what it means to be filled is it means to be led or controlled by him. So being filled with the Holy Spirit from these verses is how we walk wisely, avoid evil, and understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, it's interesting, as you go into the Christian bookstore today, there are book after book after book after book about finding the will of God for your life. You can, I mean, I have some on my shelf. And the answer is not to buy someone else's book. The answer is to get on, to be filled with the Spirit and get on the same page with what God is already doing. That's the key. We don't need someone else to tell us what God's will is for our life. God will tell us. And that's the problem that we have in our Christian walk, is we want everybody else to do the work for us today. We don't want to have a personal, intimate relationship walk with Christ where I'm actually being vulnerable and open, because we're afraid that he's going to touch some things that we don't want to give him. And that's the real challenge for us, is to say, you know, I love the old George Beverly Shea stuff that we did this morning
about just as I am, as we come that way. But we talk about, the another one is I surrender all. And that's easy to sing about, it's hard to do. Especially when he starts putting his finger on things in your life that you enjoy. You know, we've talked about that before. I don't really have any problem with sinning with asparagus, but barbecue could be a problem for me. You know, it's just the journey that we're on. And so he begins to address this, and he lays out this groundwork. Walking wise, have you ever known somebody who you would consider to be a wise person, a man or a woman? Usually, what I've found to be true is there are usually people of prayer, people of God's Word. They've spent time with Him. They hear, and they hear from Him, and they respond. And that's what he's talking about here. Being filled with the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, and we obey Him, we're going to walk wisely, because wisdom is not intelligence. Wisdom is understanding what God's doing and joining Him in it. That's what wisdom truly is seeing the hand of God in the moment and falling in line with whatever your part is. That's what wisdom is. We can't do that if we're not being empowered by the Holy Spirit to minister in that circumstance. And so that's how we begin. These are really results of walking in the filling of the Spirit. So he talks about walking wisely. He talks about avoiding evil. Listen, I know this, that when the Holy Spirit is leading and I'm being obedient, responsive to Him, He's never going to lead me into evil. He's never going to lead me into a situation where it's a compromise of my faith. He's never going to put me in that place to do something contrary to what God has called me to do. And so we think about avoiding evil as, I've got to stop. I remember, it was so fun, I used to remember, somebody told me this a long time ago, well, if you have trouble with a sin, memorize all the scriptures on that sin. And then what happens is, and I think memorizing scriptures is a wonderful thing, but if I focus on the sin, then that becomes the thing of my focus, if you will. If I begin to think about it, that becomes my focus. You know what I found to be more effective? The mind that stayed in Christ will be in perfect peace. And so if I focus on Christ and who He is and what He's doing and what He's up to, I don't have time to think about the other. And I don't even want to. That's how the journey works. And so we avoid evil that way. And understanding what the will of the Lord is. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't it be nice if God would just write it on a post-it note and put it on your steering wheel in the morning, this is my will today for you. Wouldn't that be so much easier? I actually think it's easier because it says my sheep know my voice. The problem is sometimes the will of God makes us uncomfortable. You ever been there? I want you to share Christ with that person. Well, here comes the excuses. I'm at work. I do this. I don't have the same lunch as they do. I don't know what to say. Or, Mark, go over there and listen to him. And it's somebody who's just, I know there's a mess going on. And it can be a struggle. Or, Mark, you need to forgive this. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I always love that response because I think about what they did to Jesus, and that just falls completely flat on His face. And so we have to walk in that. He wants us to understand God's will for us. It's not something that is this big mystery. We make it this big mystery, and I think the reason, if we just cut through the chase and get honest about this, the reason that's a mystery to us is because we're not walking with Him. That's kind of the response I expected. But it's the truth. If I'm walking in the moment and I'm paying attention and I'm listening because the Holy Spirit is speaking, I'm going to know what the will of God is. The problem is sometimes Mark doesn't want to do it, or Mark's on a schedule and he has to be somewhere by this time, and these people need to hurry up in line, and why are they paying with a check? You ever, that happens, now you've been behind that person? And they pull out a checkbook, and our first thought is, oh, are you kidding? You didn't know I knew about that. Don't ask me how I know about that. Because Mark has been in that line behind that person. Right? And we're not seeing them. We're seeing us. And when Jesus went to the cross, he saw us. You think he was like, hey, let's go. He said, Lord, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it actually talks, the next rest of the verses talk about despising the shame. He went to the cross for us. Let that mind be in you. Think about someone else for a change. You realize, have you ever seen I'm going to start creeping into next week a little bit here. Because next week is going to be really interesting because we're going to compare and contrast the fruit of the Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit. That'll be fun. But how many of you have ever seen a tree eat its own fruit? This sounds ridiculous, right? Our fruit is not meant for us. Our fruit is meant for other people. Our fruit is meant for the body of Christ. So the fruit that God produces on this branch and your branch is for someone else. It's not for you. It's not for you. So it's an interesting thing here. He says, listen, you can't do any of that without being filled. You can't do any of that without being filled. If you're not being filled with the Spirit, if you're not being led by Him, you'll never participate in that. That's the key to the whole thing. Then he goes on, he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. How many of you use that word in your everyday conversations? Yeah, that's dissipation, my brother. When we think of the word dissipation, does anybody ever use that word? I'm going to give you a circumstance where you've all heard it in a regular context. How about with the weather? Well, the storm dissipated. It fell apart. It didn't come together. So as we engage in drinking alcohol here or getting drunk, it dissipates or our walk or our ability to be filled with the Spirit, it just fades away. Because the alcohol will control you. The alcohol controls us. And, you know, I'm going to be careful because I don't believe in preaching convictions. I believe in preaching the Word of God. I have some personal convictions on this subject that I think God has given me for me. But clearly it says don't get drunk. To me, how do we define drunk? Is that illegal? Is that influenced? Am I influenced with one sip? How do I determine that? For me, this is my conviction. I'm not putting this on anybody else. For me, it's a no. Because if I have 0.0001 bit of control of alcohol, then I'm not 100% filled with the Spirit. For me, you have to listen to what he says for you. There's a verse in Corinthians that talks about just because something's lawful to do doesn't mean that it's always the right thing to do. Plus, I think the reason that I have that conviction is because there's people that are trapped by it. We all know somebody who's been... I've seen people drink themselves into the grave. But here, he's talking about... And it's funny how he compares and contrasts the two. We can all tell when somebody's drunk, right? They act different. Some people are more fun, aren't they? They kind of loosen up a little. Right? I mean, come on. That's the facts. Because they're influenced by that. So here's what we know. If he's comparing that, then when the Holy Spirit is filling us, it should be evident. It should change our behavior. It should change how we act. That's part of the journey. And that's what he's addressing in these moments. Listen, the expression of the Holy Spirit within us. And And our ability to walk wisely, avoid evil, and understanding what the will of the Lord is dependent upon the filling of the Spirit of God. You cannot do it without. And we can quench the Spirit to keep Him. We quench Him by ignoring Him, by not letting Him, by rejecting what He has to say to us, and doing our own thing. It's a very dangerous place to be. The benefits of this, he goes on, I want you to see this. This is really cool. The benefits of being filled with the Spirit is our relationships improve. He talks about how we talk to one another. Yeah, have you ever had this conversation at home? It's not what you said, it's how you said it. That's how they say it to you, right? Then go, it's not what you said, but it's how you said it. It's not what they say. And so it's really hypocritical, right? Amen. That's, you get the side amen.
Amen.
Right? We talk different. We talk in spiritual songs and hymns. You know, when you think about hymns and spiritual songs, they're things that exalt the Lord. Your conversation begins to exalt the Lord to the people around you. Not, why are you so cranky? Why do you do that? You know, we've all done that. Especially when we're tired. We get grumpier. But our relationships improve. How we speak to one another changes. Our attitude changes. Our attitude improves. We make melody in our heart. Your attitude is going to change. Boy, we could, you know, sometimes we could really use that. You ever said to yourself, well, I need an attitude change? Have you said that to you? Here's the question. Has that been said to you more than you've said it to yourself? You need an attitude change, Mark. But our attitude changes when we walk with the Lord. We begin to have a melody in our heart. And it's such a joyful time. Because we're exactly where God wants us to be. That's what the fun part is. We also discover that we have gratitude. He says that they're always giving thanks. We're grateful people when we're walking in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit makes us that way. And then we're submissive to one another. We're not trying to take advantage or try to cut our way in or to be the leader or what. You know, I'll tell you what, anybody who's a true leader doesn't want to lead, because they know the weight of the responsibility. They know the cost. As well, everybody is out playing and doing other things. They're either studying or preparing or cutting out craft items for the kids. When you're out to eat with your friends and doing different things, when you can finally decide where to go, they're over there working. And then when it goes right, everybody else gets the credit. And when it goes wrong, they get the blame. That's what happens with leaders. And so, here, we're submissive to one another. That's a great joy when we can submit one to another. And the reason is because we know God's in control. Because the Holy Spirit's leading us in it. And if God's in control, and I know God is in control and leading you, man, it's so much easier for me to submit to you. Right? Because I want to make sure I'm submitted to what God's up to. And if everybody is in that place, man, imagine what God could do if He led us all onto the same purpose, the same journey, the same calling. We're seeing some of that just here with the cross. I was sitting there and I counted all the names up there. Can you imagine if all these, just these people came to faith in Christ? How cool would that be? How cool would it be if we didn't know this? I'm going to get in trouble. We're going to have to delete this. How cool would it be if we didn't allow transfer membership but only salvation membership? Would that change our perspective? I'm not so sure that's a bad idea, actually. See, I'm getting in trouble. Everybody's like, yeah, I can't do that. Nobody wants to join. We're not going to do that. But I sure would love to see more people saved and coming to faith in Christ, coming out of the rolls. If you're considering transfer membership, we still welcome you. But shouldn't our heart be to reach the lost? Shouldn't our heart be for what Jesus died for? Shouldn't that be where our heart beats? And yet when we walk with the Spirit, it will be that way. And then we're submissive to one another. So we're instructed to be filled, which means that there's a responsibility to us in that. And that means to let Him lead you. And you say, well, He's never led me. I never heard His voice. I don't know how that works. I don't know any of this. Go to Him and tell Him. Say, you know what? You have never said anything to me. This is your prayer. You've never said anything to me. I don't hear your voice. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what your will is for my life. I am here because I need that, and I want to obey. And watch what starts to happen. But when He begins to speak to you about things that are uncomfortable, you have to do them anyway. Because that will stop it again. So how do you know if you're filled with the Spirit? I'm so glad you asked. Because that's the big thing. How do we know if we're filled with the Spirit? We've heard, many of you probably heard that it's to be filled and to be led by. That's not a new concept, and it might be a new concept. But I want to give you a biblical verse here to show you how you can know. So listen, it is imperative that we're aware when we're filled and walking in the Spirit, and when we're not, because we're going to miss out. The key to understanding when you're being filled is found in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. He says this, and we're going to dig into this much deeper next week. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When somebody is telling me they're walking in the Spirit and they're not exhibiting these characteristics, what does that tell me? They ain't walking in the Spirit. When somebody is walking in the Spirit and they're beginning to talk to me and I see these characteristics, should I pay attention? Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the fruit of the Spirit accompanies the filling of the Spirit. And when filled with the Spirit, you're going to demonstrate love to one another and to your fellow man. If somebody is coming to you and they're trying to talk to you about something spiritual and they're not loving, that's not a movement of the Spirit. Love is a natural, it's the first one. He talks about joy, and we're going to talk about that a little bit here in a moment. But joy, we think joy and happiness is the same thing. It's absolutely not. Absolutely. I'm happy if one of my sports teams ever win. But joy is what God gives me even when they don't. That's horrible. But when everything's not going right, you have this peace and this confidence and this joy that comes from God. It's not circumstance-based. It's Jesus Christ-based. Because here's the fact. God's Word says that He is our joy. He doesn't give us joy. He is our joy. And so when I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm experiencing Him, the joy is Him within me. That's the fun part. And so love, joy, peace. Boy, couldn't we use some peace? Couldn't this world use some peace, in this country, in this nation, use some peace? You know, it even says in the last days they'll be crying, peace, peace, and they will find none. We're starting to see that. The interesting thing, if you go back and you study eschatology, you study the first century Christians, they thought they were in the last days. They believed they were, that was it, it was imminent, it's going to happen. And it seems like there's this delay. And we read more about that in Revelation when the fullness of time comes. And the fullness of all those who are being saved comes in. So love, joy, peace, patience. Ooh, that's a bad one. You ever heard, don't pray for patience because trials work patience? It's true. So what I started praying for is just the filling of the Spirit, because that's a fruit of the Spirit, so then I'm okay. Isn't that terrible how we try to outsmart God? That's the definition of a fool. It really is. Patience. How many of you could ever use some patience? Especially with the person you're thinking about. We could all use some patience, right? Oh, James is getting in trouble. Kindness. Goodness, that's part of. That's, if you see these characteristics, this is how you know. Faithfulness, are you faithful? Gentle? Are you gentle or harsh? Self-control. Ooh, there's a bad one. And the interesting thing when he says, when he uses self-control as a fruit of the Spirit, is we've turned that over. We've turned over control to him. And so self-control follows, because what we've done is the control that we exhibit is a releasing of that. Does that make sense how that works? And so it's really this cool moment that happens in our journey with the Lord. And so these are apparent when interacting with someone filled with the Spirit. And they're also apparent when they're not filled with the Spirit. The absence of them is also. So when you're doing spiritual work and you want to know if the Spirit is prepped ahead of you, watch for these characteristics. Because I see so many times people try to plow through. And I've been... Anybody here ever been through some witnessing training? I did EE, CWT, I've done Share Jesus Without Fear, I've done all these. Have y'all done any of those? Have y'all done some that I haven't named? Anybody up there? What did you do?
I did one in the Lutheran Church years ago that just had a big impact on me.
Yeah.
Don't even remember the name of it.
Name of it. Right. Was that Alpha?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so we go through all this training. I know when I went through EE, EE is a Presbyterian. It originated out of the Presbyterian Church. It's a 45-minute presentation that you memorize with all of these stories and illustrations to remove every objection anybody could have. And you know what I found is, where's the Holy Spirit in that? The Holy Spirit will remove all those objections. If they're not drawn, if somebody's not drawn by the Spirit, how can they be saved? They can't. God saves people. We don't save people by making them pray a prayer. God saves them. And so we have to have evidence of the movement of the Spirit. And these things, these characteristics, will show you whether or not you're walking filled or not filled. But how does the filling change what we do? That's a great question, because we're going to cover several verses. I want you to, what I'm going to do, instead of just telling you, I'm going to show you what happened in Scripture. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, our behavior changes, naturally aligning with God's will for our lives. Here's a few biblical examples of how the Holy Spirit's filling changed people's behavior. Luke 1:67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and did what? Prophesied. So he began to speak truth. He began to speak the word of God. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. That one is coming in detail. But something changed. They spoke another language and communicated with people who needed to hear the gospel. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, let me go back a second. James, can we go back? And Acts 2:4, look what it says at the end.
as the Spirit was giving them utterance. They didn't just do it on their own. Then it wasn't given to them and then they used it however they wanted. It was something the Spirit of God did for the Spirit of God's purposes. All right, Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, boldness and rudeness are different. They're absolutely different. Boldness means that you speak it anyway, but if you're demonstrating the filling of the Spirit as you do that, it's gentleness, kindness, all those things. It's not rudeness. But you feel a freedom that you know that the Spirit of God is upon that moment and you're speaking truth to somebody. And so that's what they did. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And so it's a gift that comes. The joy comes as we are filled, and it changes us. So walking in the filling of the Holy Spirit allows us to fulfill God's plans. And we get to experience Him working through us. And you know what? I got thinking, I almost wrote this, and I had to go back because I got convicted. I had written originally that it allows us to fulfill God's plans for us. And I got convicted that that's a very selfish view. Well, we talk about that all the time. What is God's will for me? It's not all about me. His will for me is about someone else. But boy, I was shocked because I use that often. And how selfish I was. It allows us to fulfill God's plan. His plan for me was the cross. And He wants to use me for His glory and to be a benefit, a blessing in someone else's life. That's His will for me. Will for them. And I'm just a tool of that. See, I said it. We say it all the time. But let's call it out. Let's call it out. Just because, you know, we're going to tell the truth, and if the truth falls here, then it falls here. So be it. We're going to embrace the truth. Somebody asked me a long time ago, do you want the truth on your side, or do you want to be on the side of truth? And I thought, isn't that the same thing? That was my first thought, to be honest with you. And then as I got thinking about it, I sat there, and the grace of this person allowed me to sit there and think about it. They didn't jump right on my pause. Because I pause. You ever have to pause when somebody asks you something spiritual? And I thought about it for a moment. And I said, I want to be on the side of truth. Because a lot of people want truth to be on their side. And so their side is what dictates what truth is. And so they start to change it to make it. That's what we're dealing with in the world today. But I want to be wherever truth is. Because all truth is from God. And so walking in the filling of the Holy Spirit allows us to fulfill God's plans. And we get to experience Him working through us. See, He'll lead you if you let Him. So how does understanding the filling of the Holy Spirit change our walk? Well, it moves us from the idea of what can I do for God to the understanding that God is already at work. And through me, at work in and through me to accomplish His plans. Well, we got to do something for God. You know, nothing's happening over here, so we got to get busy. All right, who's going to do this and who's going to do that? We're all kind of a little bit drawn to that a little bit. Because it's momentum, it's energy, it's doing something. We do. We think that it's a badge of honor to say I'm busy today. I wonder if some of our business is not the will of God. And it's keeping us from it. I'm not encouraging you to be lazy. I'm encouraging you to be centered. You ever hear this phrase? Well, we need to make sure that we're balanced. We need to have a good balance. And I realize that's not true. That didn't call me to balance. He called me to centeredness. And he brings balance. He brings the order to my life. Not me. So I'm going to balance God and family and all. No, God is one, number one. If you have a priority of God first, it will never balance. Because that priority will outweigh everything else. I want my wife to be more in love with Jesus than she is with me. Which ain't hard. He's a better man. She didn't say amen, but she thought it. I'm just kidding. I'm going to be in trouble later. But it moves us from the idea of what can I do for God to the understanding that God's already at work in and through me to accomplish His goals, His plans. So the question is, are we willing to join Him? Are we really willing to join Him? The second thing it does in our walk is it shows us how our relationship with the Lord develops into the ministry He planned for us. We want to do ministry without the relationship. But that's the ministry. That's what we have to give away. I can't give you something that I don't have. That's called an IOU, and we all love those, don't we? My goal is not to make you sin less, because your sin's already been handled, right? You know, this is crazy, and I've been thinking about this for a while. I have all these things that rattle around in my head for... The church today seems like what it wants to do is manage something that Jesus has already handled. You ever notice that? Well, we're going to help you to be a better this, or to do that, or to sin less, or we're going to help you overcome your addiction. Your addictions are already overcome. You don't ever have to sin again if you're walking in the Spirit. I know that fly, that really makes us unhappy, because now we don't have an excuse. Well, but we're going to. You ever thought that? That's an excuse to not walk in the Spirit. Do you have the ability to walk in the Spirit, yes or no? So why would we excuse ourselves from doing that so we can go sin? Exactly. But we're just going to. No. You do not have to do that. You do not have to act a certain way other than the fruit of the Spirit. We're either going to have the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh. It's one or the other. You can't have, I mean, it's not both. And so our ministry is to give away the relationship we have with the Lord to others so others can enjoy Him also. Here's the question I had to ask myself in this. Would anybody want the relationship I have with the Lord? It's a tough one. Let's get honest, right? Would anybody want the relationship that I have with the Lord? Would that be something worthy of giving away to someone? Owie. Lastly, when we walk in the Spirit, we demonstrate the characteristics of God. See, this becomes a good evaluation tool for both our own walk and for the walk of the others as we minister to them. You can start to read whether the Spirit of God is moving in you and in them. Because we know that the Holy Spirit, Paul wanted to go spread the gospel, and the Holy Spirit prevented him and said, go to Macedonia. Because He had a time and a place for him. We know that our time and place of our habitation has been appointed by the Lord. That's Hebrews 12. And so we need to evaluate. Are we demonstrating the characteristics? When we walk in the Spirit, we're naturally going to do that. When we're filled with the Spirit. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. How many of you have ever seen a hot air balloon? Ever seen one? Well, I'll tell you, when I see those things, it's really a danger to everybody in the car and everybody driving around me. Because it's like, hey, what's it doing? And you're going down the road. You ever done that? I can't remember. Nobody wants to. Thank you. Thank you. We're totally like that. And so you're going, hey, that's so cool. That's... But you know how they launch hot air balloons?
They tie it down. First thing they do is they roll it out. They tie it down. They fill it with air. And then they fill it with hot air. And the balloon rises. But it's not lifting off, but it is what it is right at that moment. And then they'll release one rope and it'll kind of lean because it wants to go. And then they'll release the second, third rope, and then it'll be kind of hanging there by one rope. And when that last rope is released, what does it do? It soars into the sky and floats away. And I got thinking, how much, as I've looked around this room, I can't help thinking that we're a lot like the balloon. Man, there's a lot of hot air in here. I'm just kidding. But seriously, who we are in Christ is already there. It's already real. And we've got these ropes that tie us down, that keep us from doing what we were created to do. Whether that's to soar with the eagles. And the beauty of the hot air balloon is it goes as the wind leads it. And the question for us is this. What ropes are keeping us from doing what God's called us to do? Lack of confidence in ourselves? I think that's a beginning point. I'm glad you're not confident in yourself. Put your confidence in Christ. And if He can't do it, I'd rather fall on my face. We say that until it happens, right? Terry and I were having that conversation the other day. Terry's a good listener, by the way. If you ever want somebody to listen to you, she's a good listener. We said, you know, when we were talking about how we're all going to, when you're in a family relationship with somebody, you irritate each other. And all the families said, amen. Amen. But you don't quit family. And she said, Terry said, you know, that's really easy until it happens and you're on the short side of that. And that made me a little worried. But it's true, because you do it with friends and all that. It's easy to be the one that needs forgiveness. It's hard to be the one that has to get it. And hope that, you know, you want to hope that somebody will give it to you. Because you just want to mess up and everything be okay. But when somebody messes up with you, it's hard. And so we have all these things that tie us down. Unforgiveness, other things, fear, relying on our own resources. All of this stuff will keep you from doing what God calls you to. And that here's the thing. You ever heard this? You ever heard this said to you? Well, God will never give you anything you can't handle. You know, that's not biblical. The Bible verse they use for that is taken out of context. The Bible verse says, no temptation has ever taken man except that which God has made a man escape. It's referring to temptation. God will absolutely give you things you can't handle because He wants you to rely on Him as your resource and let Him handle it. So if you're struggling and if you're trying to overcome something or you're trying to make it happen for God, it's time to let that go and allow His resources to take charge. So don't believe that lie that He won't give you anything you can't handle. The stuff God gives me, none of it I can handle. Because His calling to me is not for me to handle it. His calling to me is to be used by Him in the moment so they can see Him and not me. Because He's calling all men to Him. And so let's get out of the way and be used by God as a body of people. It ain't about you. He don't care how smart you are because He gave you your smarts if you have any at all. He don't care how good you are at math because if you are, He gave it to you and He can take it away just like that. He don't even care if you can sing because He gave that to you and He can take it away just like that. He don't even care if you can preach because if you can, and I'm not saying anybody here can, He can take it away just like that. We don't have anything of ourselves. It's all a gift from Him and it all belongs to Him and we should be kneeled at the foot of the cross saying, here it is. Use it.
Let's surrender. We want to surrender all the junk to Him. God is not Sanford and Son. Don't do that. You know? We think God pulls in his wagon, we throw all our junk in there, and we're free from all our junk. You know, when you throw your junk out, don't you feel a little free? God made you with strengths and weaknesses. Let's surrender the strengths to Him and let Him take care of the weaknesses. Let's get before Him and let Him use us in a real way. And we can't do that. That's part of what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. It's letting God take control and use us for His glory. It has nothing to do with you. There are benefits that come to us simply because we're walking with Him. And that's always true when you walk with Him. Because the only thing I care about is that you connect with Him and He, and you get to walk in the presence of Him. You get to hear His voice. You get to have Him reveal Scripture to you. That's what I care about. It's about you and Him. And that's what it should be for us. It should be them and Him. There are empty seats in this room, as you've noticed. There are people out there that need to hear, that need to be invited, that need to be prayed for. These people need to be prayed for. How many of you that put a name on this board would be grateful to God for somebody praying for your lost person? Look at there. Why don't you be the person that they're grateful for? We need to be praying for them. We need to pray down here. We need to pray personally. I've seen God save people off a board like this. I actually saw 30 people come to faith in Christ in one moment. It was an amazing time. And you know what? So what, 30 people? God could save 3,000 people. And you know what? So what? God could save one. And you know what? To that one, it's life-changing. We're so busy about numbers. We need to be busy about Him. And the numbers are what He wants them to be. Don't define success that way. Define success as today I completed the course He laid out for me today, and I heard Him today, and I did what He wanted. And I'm going to tell you, you might fail sometimes. It could happen. It doesn't have to happen, but it could. But His grace is sufficient, as Dave talked about this morning. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.